I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Information influences our capabilities, our opportunities, our interests, and our potential. But we are not in control of this information, and are influenced by those who control it. A movement is underway to move these controls and influence to the user. What is possible when we are connected and in control? This is the quest. This is the emergence.
Thank you for joining another episode of The Emergence, asking the question, what is possible when we are connected? Hi, this is J. Paul Duplantis, and I'm doing a little freestyle video for an episode from downtown Phoenix. I live in Avondale, work in Mesa, and the lovely downtown Phoenix is in between, so coming home from work, thought I would drop by and talk about the future of work. And why am I focused on the building Bank of America? I don't know. Just really is the epitome of work in the world we live in, I guess. Not judging, just observing. So that's what this episode is gonna be about. This episode is gonna be about observations, talking about the emergence, talking about what we face in the future of work. I mean, who am I to really talk about this? Absolutely nobody, but it really doesn't concern me. I have the ability to speak and I have the ability to share it, so that's all I'm worried about. So, this future of work, what are we going to face when we're looking at this? And we're looking at the buildings. That's the reason that I actually chose downtown Phoenix, because it's a representation of people where they work. And it's not a bad thing. People have to work. People have to make money. But when we're talking about the future of work, when automation is going to replace the exchange of value of our skills, I mean, there's no denying that. If you're a manufacturer, if you're a driver, if you're a clerk, if you're somebody that automation is easily able to replace, then it is going to happen. It's going to happen within the next 10, 15 years. So what happens to society? From then. And by the way, I'm actually, for people that are just listening on the podcast, I'm actually walking through the city, so I'll try to be descriptive because the video is going to be on YouTube, but the podcast is not going to have the video, so I'll try to be somewhat descriptive. But the reason I like to do these parts, this style, it's kind of a freestyle riffing on ideas. Some of them are going to be talking about reading my essays. Some of them is going to be having dialogues with people talking about these ideas, and some of them are going to be just me walking around. I always do really well when I'm thinking when I'm walking. It's a weird thing. I usually write when I'm walking or moving. It's just who I am, I guess, which is an important thing thinking about the future of work, right? Is that what drives us to create an effort to be able to be rewarded for what we expend, the labor we expend? Is it important? Is who we are important, and the efforts and the potential of our capabilities? And that's more of it. I guess this whole podcast and this episode, specifically about the future of work, is about what is in our potential. And when we're thinking long range in the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years, is it necessarily going to be in the containers and the silos of work? United Healthcare. Again, nothing against Alliance Bank, United Healthcare, Quicken Loans. We have to work. We have to make money. But is there going to be a layer on top of that? Because when automation starts to replace these skills, is there going to be something else? Something I'm fixated on is the fact that the internet has connected 7.5 billion people, half of 7.5 billion people on the planet. So as we move through the years, it'll start to become three quarters and then everybody. So all of those are capabilities that are trapped, or some not trapped, others they're expressed, but these capabilities that can be shared amongst each other, to where if we share a capability, if we share a skill, and we're not limited to location, to proximity, what is possible? I mean, that's what technology can bring. Now, technology has not necessarily brought that, because technology is, and the whole entire theme of the podcast is centralization, is that it's more about the provider, what the provider wants to get from the user, from the labor, from the effort. And I'm not talking about Marxist ideology here versus capitalist ideology. I'm talking about the individual and what the individual offers in this exchange of labor, and especially in the future, because right now it is what it is. And right now in 2020, we're living through COVID, which is a very odd period of our life, and it's a very concerning period. One thing that is happening, though, is that we're starting to telecommute more, and we're starting to build those infrastructures to be able to accommodate the telecommuting. And I personally believe that's a very important evolution in labor. We've been doing that. We've been having the ability to telecommute, but this is something different, because we have never experienced something like this, where we are connected, where we're globally experiencing something at the same time to this level. And it's an amazing thing. And to where I was talking to a guy that was actually doing computer services, and he cannot keep up with the demand of need for computer services, because everybody is actually having to get online and to be able to telecommute. So what happens with that? When we're talking about the future of work, and we're talking about telecommuting, to me, what that does is that drives people to our local communities. Now, I do know that people love the experience of working with others, and not everybody does. I'm fine working remotely if I could, but I can't. But some people really want to have that physical interaction. But when you think about that, when you're telecommuting, and if you're in your local neighborhoods, then you will have the opportunity to interface locally with your neighborhoods after work. Does it have to be to where you're always having to interface with the work environment? Now, again, some, or more importantly, some types of jobs are going to require you to be at the location of where you're needed. So I'm not saying that the future of work is entirely telecommunication, but you know, if you're a doctor, although there is telemedicine that's going to happen, and there's going to be some things. There's some areas that you're just going to need to be locally at the actual physical site. Will COVID-19 redefine the future of work? Quite possibly, yes. Because now are we motivated and more aware of the importance of possibly being more distant than we have in the past. Now, without a doubt, that can have its own societal negative impacts. Because if we're more distant, we don't want to live in the Black Mirror world where we're just tied in virtually. But it's this locality, this idea of being local, of small, of working in our communities. So what happens when we do more work in our communities that COVID-19 is starting to explore the possibilities of? You know, that builds communities. I mean, when more people are actually working in the areas of where they live, then logic would tell you that eventually there's going to be more and additional smaller businesses surfacing in those areas to support the people that are working in those local areas. So this very nature of small as opposed to big, and working in your local area, does more for smaller community development, which is an incredibly good thing in my opinion when you really think about it. When you boil down the future of work, the future of where we're going and harnessing technology, is it just mass consumerism and scale and the Walmarts and the bigger the better. Yeah, the bigger the better, and the more revenues generated. Is that the only thing that is going to actually bring to societal health? And I'm not arguing against the ability to make money at all. I don't question that whatsoever. But what I do question is this provider control over the labor and defining who we are and who our and what our capabilities are. And I'm looking at a guy right here playing music out on in Central Phoenix. And you know, are we willing to dig into the stories of everybody we see and what their capabilities truly are and what they can bring to the exchange? Is there somebody out of 7.5 billion people that would possibly enjoy what this guy is doing? And if it was in the future, and if we were tied in and connected resonantly, could this person make money or have a barter exchange to where his life could be enriched? I absolutely think it's possible. Now, the market is not created and the technology is not created today to really explore that, but in the future it will be. There's no doubt in my mind. If we go towards this more decentralized connection and capabilities and really harnessing who we are and our efforts individually. So I was thinking about this earlier when I was watching on TV a sports broadcast. I am not into sports, never have been. My dad was, but I never caught the bug. But when I look at those individuals that are performing in the field of sports at the top level, at the highest level, and the word I think about is driven. They're driven, or else they would not be able to get to where they are. They wouldn't be able to excel. So that drive, so is that drive possible throughout all of society? And can technology really possibly dig into that drive? Can it facilitate that drive? And is the market the way that it sits currently? Is that such that it does? I don't think it does at all, but it can. And what could technology do to really dig into that drive? You think about a sports, somebody that's into sports, that's really driven. So how do they come across it? How were they influenced by it? Was it their parents? Was it a situation in their childhood that made them want to overcome a challenge? I mean, we all have our own stories. That homeless person that I pass at work that's sitting outside my workplace, could have been a major star, a major sports star? Maybe they were a high school athlete. Maybe they were at the top of their game. Could be a woman, could be a man. So what happened to them? What's their story? Why weren't they driven? So to me, what I'm gathering and what I see in the overall sense of where we are currently is that it's more about the fact of blame. We're blaming people for their lack of drive, but we're not really trying to dig in to why they don't have that drive. What is it? And as a society, do we hold any responsibility to try to uncover it, to find it, to search for it? And can technology serve as that lever to search for it? And why the hell wouldn't it when you think about it? So when I talk about work silos, it seems like I guess somewhat of a derogatory term when people in Chase Bank are working their butts off to help people be able to transact money between business and individuals. It's a significant thing and it's an important piece, but is there a layer on top of work silos that we can start to explore? The gig economy is a beginning piece in that. Is it only the fact that what the free market has dictated that is going to be the best for our skill set? Are we really is the market defining our skill set, or are we defining our skill set? And is that important for us to define our skill set and bring it into the marketplace and let the marketplace respond to that versus the marketplace defining our skill set? And that's a significant piece, because that comes into the fact of education and the cost of education. Between 1978 and 2014, higher education, there was an increase in the cost of higher education of 1,100%. Now let that just sink in. Just let that sink in as the cost. So education is just about acquiring a skill set so that you can perform in a work environment. So you can perform in these work silos. They're all over the place. Again, not judging, I'm just observing. So when automation starts to replace these skill sets, what's it going to replace first? It's going to replace the drivers. It's going to replace the clerks. It's going to replace the lower income. So what happens when the lower income jobs are replaced? All right. So the higher skill sets are going to become more important. Well, the higher skill sets are going to require more education. So the more education is going to require more expense of the individual. So do you see where this is going? You see where this is going in the next 15, 20, 30 years, if not 5 to 10? Is that if you think that we have a separation between, if you think we have the wealth gap currently, imagine what's going to happen when a lot of these lower skilled jobs are going to be replaced and people are going to be out of luck. So luck is a really good word on that, because could we create the tools to be able to increase those capabilities with luck? I have a friend that would always say luck favors a prepared mind. Let's talk about community colleges briefly and the idea of vocational skill sets that are able to be rewarded through a type of institution such as a community college versus a bachelor's degree or a master's or a PhD. And believe me, I do agree that bachelor's and master's and PhDs are extremely important in society to be able to provide the necessary skill set to keep us moving forward. But there is a lot of missed opportunities, I believe, in what can be done through vocational training and vocational skill sets through community colleges and vocational schools. My son is in a vocational community college program for film, and so I'm big on it, and I love it. And the most important part of that is it's more affordable than a bachelor's degree. So that's giving access to people of all different levels of income that are able to then acquire skills that are very specific to things that they can turn into the workplace to be able to then be rewarded for their capabilities that they're able to discover through learning. And community college is an important part in the emergence. I really do. It's an extremely important part of that. And what can be done to be able to even elevate this and discover more opportunities in online curriculum and really targeting the learning with the interest and the capabilities. Not because the thing is about what we're interested in isn't necessarily always on the surface. What are our capabilities? Are these learning institutions really wanting to know what we are capable of? Or is it that they're interested in defining us so that we can go into the workplace? And that's an important note, an important fact, that the provider-centric learning versus user-centric learning. And is there things that technology can do to really shift that a little bit, to be able to really provide technology to dig in and understand what the individual is not only interested in, but what they're capable of, and what they can do, and then match that level of capability with learning and targeted learning that can evolve and condition that skill set so that it can go out into the marketplace and be rewarded and exchange value and meet value with need. And so this notion of vocational skill-based learning and and what we can do in the future. I think it's a really good marriage with what technology can do and what the capability of technologies can bring. And I'm very interested in exploring what that potential is and where we can go with it. So to wrap this up, what is the easy solution? There is no easy solution for the future of work. We're just going to have to deal with it, whatever unfolds. My idea is the fact of let's use technology to at least give ourselves a running chance. Because if when you look at what's going to happen with artificial intelligence, augmented reality, virtual reality in the workplace, it really is something that is going to be a significant shift. And we need to be prepared. And if we're going to continue to rely on these tools, provider-centric tools, work silos, to really dig into who we are and who we want to be and who we can be, then we, I'm telling you, are going to be let down. And that is the story of the emergence, for us to rise up, not as a means of overthrowing anything. If anybody knows me, you know I'm not that way at all. I'm talking about for us to get a part of the conversation, to be a part of the conversation, for the user, for the individual to be more impactful in the whole and to be able to drive this as opposed to being driven. So that's all I'm saying. And that's what the part of the emergence is, the future of work. And there's other areas that I'm going to be talking about. And this is a major element of the podcast, about tapping into and finding other people who have their ideas on what this is and what the emergence is, and specifically on this episode, what the future of work, what could I learn, what could we learn from people talking about what they feel the future of work is going to be. It's not about what I feel or what I know, it's about what other people are engaging with and their opinions and their insight and their expertise on what the future of work is going to be. What is it going to render for us? And it's an extremely important piece that we need to really digest and think about, because we've been talking about the future for years, and when you look about historically how the future has been rendered, but you have to admit, we are here, and the future of work is extremely relevant right now, because automation is here, AI is here, and it is going to radically transform the role of our efforts and what we provide in the exchange of labor. So either we're going to be in control of it or somebody else is. I argue for the fact that we're going to be in control, and I want to learn from other people. I want to hear what their ideas are and what we can do to affect these changes, to make it for the fact that we get to have a better voice in how our labor is exchanged. So we will talk to you soon. Looking forward to the next episode.